Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Come on, Barbie, let's go party.
Oh, sorry, we're going to do the show.
Pretty good.
Forgot.
Hello, Internet. Welcome to another Tadpog podcast. It's a show where two guys and one year and a half later, still one rather young lady.
Giggling young lady.
Giggling young lady. One halfway into a strawberry ale young lady. Talk about pretty old games.
Pretty old.
Pretty old games.
Pretty old games.
Older than me?
By a lot.
Yep.
By a wide margin.
By seven years.
Oh, wow.
Maybe more than that.
So today we are furthering our Ready Player One series.
Yeah, Ready Player One is a book, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in this book, there are a lot of video game references, old video game references.
Keep explaining it while I look something, okay. Something up.
Yeah, and they play old games, and old stuff is in it. Lots of old stuff. We already talked about one game that they already mentioned in there, and we might do more. We'll definitely do more, because eventually what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the book. So get the book. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Get the book. Get the book, read it, or have Will Wheaton read it to you. That's how Nikki prefers.
Oh, is it?
You don't do audiobooks.
I don't usually
we just
do
get
audiobooks,
you?
But I might have to do that.
You're anti like Wesley Crusher, though, right?
Well, I mean, yeah.
But not,
Who isn't anti Wesley Crusher?
Nikki wasn't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's where her little boy lady boner came
yeah,
from.
Oh, sexy little boy.
Well, I didn't see him as a... I saw Wesley Crusher from an adult perspective, so he's just an annoying kid.
Like as you were a kid watching it as an adult, like you had to get in the mindset of an adult when you watch it, or you watch it later in life?
I watch it later
in life. Okay. I like to think that you would like meditate before watching Next Gen.
I was a pretty mature child anyway, so I don't think I would have had to like reframe my mind. I think I was pretty there.
You were there, ready to go?
I grew up around all adults. So.
She was a Proust scholar in third grade.
What?
She was very adult.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. What's wrong with Wesley Crusher? I've seen like two episodes of Next Gen.
He's annoying. Okay, there's a compilation video online talking about really annoying TV show characters, and the clip that they pick for him to epitomize his annoyingness, he's like, "Hey, watch this," and then he proceeds to do cartwheels all the way like down the whole frame of the shot, and yeah, that's
how I got
that's
Nikki.
That's what a kid would do.
But he's not. He's like 15. Like, you know, it's not like he's like 8. So.
Yeah. All right.
If I could do awesome, was it a good cartwheel at least?
They were good cartwheels.
He was doing them in a row?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty impressive too.
That's at least some junior varsity league stuff he was doing.
I couldn't do that. I could. If you paid me, I couldn't do that right now.
When you were 15, could you have done it?
Probably.
All right then.
So what I'm saying is I was a lot better than I am now.
But Next Generation is... fantastic. Wesley Crusher is like a little blip of...
Does he die pretty early?
He doesn't die. He does go away. So
spoilers.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
And now I can't watch it now.
I met that Q guy. Does he eat Wesley Crusher?
That would have been better.
Fuck it. I'm writing it. Fan fiction.
I'm your beard host, Tyler. And have either one of you heard about passive-aggressive post-it notes?
I have. I have heard of passive-aggressive post-it notes.
I haven't.
Because it is basically people who write very passive-aggressive notes to their roommates, parents, friends, and just leave them in post-it note form around the house. People will take pictures of them and put them on the internet. I did this a lot as a child.
Passive-aggressive post-it notes?
Just passive-aggressive drawings.
Well, okay.
And my mom sent me one she found the other day in a box of keepsakes.
What was it?
So I've got it pulled up, the picture she sent me.
So give it to Nicole and let her describe it.
You can zoom in and out.
And then I want you to tell the listener how accurate she's describing the drawing. Right now she's just wiggling it.
It probably won't flip. I have that disabled.
He's got the anti-Wesley Crusher mod on.
It looks like there are four people, and it looks like a chutes and ladders type scenario where there are staircases and ladders, and all four of the people have their hands up.
Okay, that's Tyler's family.
I didn't really... It is my family.
That's Tyler's
family. I didn't really draw people with their arms in, like, they were either down or they were up. Okay.
They also all have eyes. Good. That are like those... Those really like check. Cartoony, extra long, skinny eyes with the pupils like in one place together.
That's how I drew people.
Oh, that's 90s style.
Okay, I will start from the top left as that makes the most sense.
I drew them all like John Arbuckle.
It's a comic?
I hate Ryan when he...
That's your brother.
Doesn't
that's your brother.
Answer the phone, phone. My name is Ryan. I enjoy bugging my brother. I think it fun to watch my mom yell at Tyler, even though he never does anything. Yeah, okay.
Can you please bring this to job interviews in the future? Just slide that in with your resume.
Because I drew this and like left it on the table for everybody to see the next morning.
This one says, I like...
Big butts.
Pulling off his hair and clothes.
Like... Tyler, is there something about your child life that you'd like to tell us?
I've repressed it, whatever it was.
My name is Pam. I enjoy watching Tyler squirm?
I think maybe? It is squirm.
Squirm?
When I call him a smart alike.
Smart Alec.
I'm just reading this
on the page. No, I want you to read the way it's written.
I'm something making him get me... Something. I'm so overprotective. I also like wearing his clothes.
I get so mad when my mom wore my clothes.
Weird.
I think you just wrote the blog intro. I am something when Tyler's something, period. Welcome to Tadpog. We're two old somethings, something about something.
The last frame. My name is Randy.
We met him on the show.
I like making Tyler mow the yard at the most...
Unconvenient
time. It's fun embarrassing him by pulling my something...
Hairpiece. My dad scribbled that out because he didn't want anybody to know.
Hairpiece on his friends when they come over.
He did that to everybody. He would walk in, like I'd have friends over, he'd walk in the house... Pull his hair off of his head and put it onto one of my friends.
But meanwhile, he scribbles it out because he doesn't want anyone to know.
I know.
And then it says, I also like wearing his clothes. So in my... your family had this one big pile of clothes that everybody wore.
This explains a lot. This explains why you get so angry when I wear your clothes, Tyler.
Damn it, Dave.
And you know, you should tell your dad that he actually makes it seem a lot worse when he scribbles out hairpiece because it makes it seem like he is some kind of like child predator.
Yeah, he says pulling my
blank
on his friends. All right.
I like that. Can we post that in the show notes? Will you share that?
I can post the picture of it, yeah.
Awesome. So everyone gets to see it. What's up, internet? I'm Dave. I'm your bespectacled host. And one of my favorite things to do in my free time is come up with Kickstarter ideas because why not? I'm not going to do any of them, so you might as well just think about them. My most recent one that I really like, I want to pitch to you guys, is I want to do a 90s sitcom, but I want to do it today. I want to have like stereotypical characters that don't really have a whole lot of depth, and I want them to have like these really boring problems. It's not really a funny show, but there is a laugh track that just lets everybody know when they're supposed to laugh at jokes. Mm. And then I realized that we already have The Big Bang Theory. So I gave up.
Have you ever seen the YouTube videos of The Big Bang Theory with the laugh track removed?
Yes.
Man, that is weird. I like The Big Bang Theory, but man, it's weird with the laugh track.
Yeah. You like The Big Bang Theory?
I do.
I don't like that show. I don't think we can be friends anymore. And it's not because you're wearing my clothes right now.
I forget the character's name, the little blonde girl. I think she's incredibly attractive.
Kaylee Cuoco?
That doesn't make any sense.
Not Kaylee Cuoco. The other one. The one that's married to Wolowitz.
I don't know who that is.
I can't remember her name at the moment, but
she's got like, pretty big boobs.
Yes.
Okay. There you go. Yes. All right.
She's like 5'2" with enormous breasts.
Okay. Well, you should have just why even say little blonde girl?
I think her face is pretty too.
What's up, Nicole? Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
We love having you, Nicole of Kirby fame.
I love being here. What?
She says begrudgingly.
I love being here.
I love stupid jokes about stupid sitcoms.
Because you were writing okay until I said like big boobs, and then like your expression was like,
there is
these
nothing
fuckers.
Wrong with appreciating nice boobs. However,
not big ones.
No. Okay. Nice big boobs are fine.
Okay.
They're good.
Damn right.
They can't be. They're gross. Big boobs are gross.
But I want to point out that having an actor that is attractive with large breasts does not make the TV show good.
Yeah, that's true.
No, but I enjoy watching her. She is humorous and nice to look at.
Okay. So she's good.
Yes. Okay. I also like Blossom on the show. It's good to see her working again.
Blossom's on the show?
Mm-hmm.
How's she on it?
Pretty funny.
Yeah. Did she play in the same character she did in Blossom?
She plays a character that's a lot more like she is in real life. Because she's like...
Because you know her in real life.
Well, after Blossom, she went to college and got her degree in like astrophysics or something like that. And then now she plays a character similar to that on the show.
It's good that she wasted all that time studying astrophysics.
She enjoyed it. She didn't have to do it.
Past time.
It's like James Franco being on Days of Our Lives. He didn't have to do it. He just thought it'd be fun.
I bet that would be fun. Especially if you were James Franco.
Yep.
Probably wouldn't be nearly as fun if I did it. Might feel a little out of place.
I have a story.
Good.
Please, do tell.
Josh suggested that I tell this story. I guess I've been holding on to this one for a while.
Good.
Because before he left, he dropped you off and said, tell sex stories, and then walked out the door.
This is kind of sex related.
Great.
And you guys both know this, so it's no surprise for you guys.
Damn.
Josh and I
had sex.
What, Nicole?
Sorry to drop it on you like
this. I'm
going
to have your grandmother listen to this. She's going to be outraged.
We had sex before we got married.
Oh, ew.
You harlot.
Yikes.
Okay.
As a podcast with multiple priests on it.
Story over.
It's a little crazy. But a couple of years ago, we bought a house. And we moved from our apartment into our house. And
okay, I know what this is.
In the process, our families, my family and his family, helped us move.
That was nice.
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. Very nice. They helped us move boxes. They packed up things, unpacked things. Well, in the process, we had put all of our sex things into a box.
What are sex things?
Sex things. Sex toys.
Toys, okay.
Sex like, accessories.
Like cat toys, but for sex.
Kind of.
Okay.
There was a bow tie.
A bow tie.
Okay, now. Okay.
I like this because, like, I want to wait.
You got to break down the box because that's confusing.
List the items, and then we'll chime in when it starts to like actually go into sex toy territory. Because right now we're in a bow tie, and I'm thinking, okay,
Josh in a bow tie. Okay, that's kind of sexy. Okay,
there was a bow tie. There was some edible tingly nipple cream.
Okay, out of the tube, no one knows. Right? No one knows it's tingly nipple cream.
It was in a little, like, jar kind of thing.
Like a salve kind of thing?
I hate that. Okay. I've tried that kind of stuff. I hate it.
Really?
I hate it.
I didn't even know this was a thing.
I've never been on the edible end of it, but on the other end of it, it's fantastic.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wait. Okay. Gotcha.
Never been
I'm
on
with
the
you.
Eating end.
Right. So. Okay.
The eating side sucks.
The eating side, yeah. Not very tasty.
There was multiple vibrators.
Okay, that's definitely... Now we're definitely in no one can mistake what's in this box territory.
Right. Like, well, are they bullet vibrators or like phallic vibrators?
One was phallic.
Okay.
One was shaped like an otter, if I remember correctly.
What? What is this?
Nicole, what's the sexiest animal to you? What animal do you want to press against your clitoris? Otter.
I'm going to special order one vibrator. Quick, give me an animal.
It was an otter. You'll have to find a picture it makes of you, an otter.
Oh,
vibrator.
Definitely.
It makes you so wet, you have to have an animal prepared to wade through it.
Lie on your back and open this clam.
Yeah!
Also in the box along with our sex toys, was our sex bucket list of places that we wanted to have sex. So they had this pretty extensive list of places that we wanted to have sex.
Was it just a list, or like were scratched off and checked off?
No, they were checked off, and across the top it said places to have sex.
Okay. Well, maybe it could be places to have sex. Maybe you could go with that angle.
Yeah, I'm gonna have
places
six.
To get sick. Get
I'm gonna sick. Have six
library.
Gonna have six on the hood of my car in the rain. Yeah.
We're learning a lot about you tonight.
Yeah, you're giving Taryn a run for her money for the sexy quota.
Well, anyway, so whenever our families helped us move, it was a kind of a hectic time. It took us a while to go through all of our boxes and find all of our stuff.
Yeah.
And eventually we realized that the sex box was gone.
Can I interrupt?
Yes.
Just a moment. I just thought did you ever put the bow tie on the otter? Because I think that would be really cute.
No, I didn't. But thanks for the idea.
And then Josh does like a puppet show. I'm thinking.
Nice. Perfect.
Yeah, you sit there and Josh just mimics the puppet walking up to the vagina. The otter's conversing with the vagina.
Also, just to give you another bit of context.
A good looking clown.
Was that Brooklyn Josh?
Hey! Look at his clam over here!
I'm walking here!
I'm so angry I can vibrate!
Okay, box goes missing.
But yes, and just a bit of context for the whole moving day. At one point, we had packed up all of our Playboy magazines. And if you've ever subscribed to Playboy, you know that they come plastic wrapped so that people can't see.
They come that way in the mail, too?
In the mail, yes. And it says the name, the address, who it's to, is on the outside. And we take the plastic.
They don't make up a name? No. They don't say, like, resident? Or
No, they were all addressed to
Otterboy.
Mrs. Nicole Nance.
Okay.
So when you take the plastic wrap off and throw it away, then the magazine no longer has your name on it. So anyway, all of our Playboys were packed up. And whenever our grandmothers, my grandmother and his grandmother, were unpacking our bookshelf, they unpacked the box of Playboys. At which point, Josh's father took him aside to say, I can't believe you just had your grandmothers unload all of your Playboys.
Did she burst into tears?
No, they didn't say anything. But I have to say that Josh was a very nice husband and did not correct his dad and tell them that they were mine.
Please.
Those are mine, Daddy. Those are not mine.
That sort of shiver up my spine, you saying that.
So you packed all the sex toys in a box. What did you write on the box?
I didn't write sex toys in the box.
Did you write not sex toys?
Definitely not sex toys.
No, I didn't. I don't think I wrote anything on the box.
Please tell me that box showed up.
No.
Are you kidding me?
No, we've been at our house for 2 years. I have no idea where it went.
That box is at large?
That box is in the world somewhere, unless one of our families
Where's Otter?
Burned it or something.
Because I hope Josh's mom like opens the box. Wry grin, nod to herself, puts it in the back of the car.
Cost of moving. The box of definitely not sex toys.
So here's your new Kickstarter. Bring back Josh Nicole's sex toy collection. So Tadpog Nation, if you wanna help please Nicole,
yeah.
We're taking donations.
We'll hire
used or new sex toys.
Well, I wanna hire a private investigator to find the box. And yes, we need to get some new ones. We definitely need to get a new otter, maybe a raccoon.
Mostly animal themed, please.
Woodland creature.
No squirrels. Right out. I'm so glad you came on the show. Are you going to be okay with this going out on the episode?
Yes, that's fine.
Awesome.
Like I said, I've been keeping that one for a while.
That's a good fucking story. It was a lot better than my fucking Kickstarter shit.
All right. Should we talk about Joust?
Yeah, let's do it.
Do you hear that, Dave?
Yep, I do. It's a weird buzzing sound. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that was.
That's Josh giggling at using the sex toy.
Oh. Is he using it?
On himself.
Right, okay. I like that better.
It's otter time.
I like that better because the way that story ended was with his mom with the box. So that's why I wanted to clarify.
This is me doing my impression of Josh's mom getting masturbatory satisfaction.
Oh my God.
She cut me off in traffic. I'm allowed to do it.
She's listened to the show before, hasn't she?
She has.
Yep. Yeah. She said we were disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she hasn't heard this episode yet.
I would really like to know what happened to the sex toy. Because I want my sex bucket list back. It makes me kind of sad.
Did you forget some of it?
Well, yeah, it was pretty long.
We can start another one right now. Just tell me where you want to have sex and where you've had sex, and I'll just write it down right here.
One time you were over whenever Josh...
I encourage you to do one of them.
Well, we left. We didn't ever say, hey, guys, we're going to go have sex, but you were on the couch and we were watching TV or something. We left for a little bit and we came back and we had gone to check off one of our...
The one that I suggested you do?
I don't remember.
The adult bookstore?
No, not that one. No.
You said it like that's not on the list.
No, this has been a while. This is back before you liked me.
Oh, okay.
It's been a long time. We went because Josh had never had sex in a car before, so I felt like that really needed to be remedied.
Did you just go to your driveway?
No.
Yeah, that's no fun.
We went and parked in some field next to a barn. And
that's a lot more fun.
Okay.
It wasn't dark, though, so.
Well, that's even better.
Yeah.
There you go.
It was a little less, I don't know, we had a less cover of darkness, I guess.
It was noon.
Yeah. It was a nooner. There you go.
It was noon on a busy highway.
Afternoon delight. Fine.
Just pulled in the sex barn. It was fine.
This barn, I built this barn to dry tobacco and to fuck beside.
The farmer comes out with a shotgun, looks in the car. Oh, you're fine.
Oh, you're fine. Fine. You have fulfilled one of the two purposes.
Yeah, I do hear that weird vibrating Josh giggling sound that, of course, everyone knows ushers in the segment we like to call Dave Reads from Wikipedia. Okay, guys. Joust, parentheses, video game. Joust is an arcade game developed by Williams Electronics and released in 1982. It is a platform game that features two-dimensional graphics. The player uses a button and a joystick to control a knight riding a flying ostrich. That's right. That's what I said. The object is to progress through levels, it's debatable, by defeating groups of enemy knights riding buzzards. That part is not debatable. It's very true. John Newcomer led the development team, which included...
John Newcomer? That's a pretty good name for an early designer.
He's an up-and-comer.
John C. Newcomer. Or John Q. Newcomer.
He aimed to create a flying game with cooperative two-player gameplay, but wanted to avoid a space theme. Too many damn games are happening in space.
Okay, it's fair.
Very popular. Very popular at the time.
When you have a black background, that's pretty much what you imagine. Yeah, space.
Put some stars on there. Staff worked within the technical limitations of the hardware, excluding concepts and optimizing the visuals. The game was well received in arcades and by critics who praised the gameplay. The gameplay mechanics influenced titles by other developers. Joust was followed by a sequel, which I've never played, 3 years later, and the original version was ported to a whole bunch of platforms. That's it. That's Joust.
Was the sequel Joust 2?
It was Joust 2. Electric Boogaloo. You're welcome, Phil, of Second Breakfast. Just stole your joke.
Because I guess we all played this on different platforms. Because whenever, like, originally we had another friend who was going to drunkenly one night. She was like, if you do Tadpog, it's the only episode I want to do. If you ever do Joust. I was like, I don't know. We'll probably never do Joust.
That was Nicole.
Oh, she bailed. And then I was like, maybe Nicole would come on. And you'd happen to play this game. Mm-hmm. You haven't played a ton of games, but you've happened to play this game specifically.
Yeah, you're like, hey, you want to play Joust? That one with the ostriches? Because
sure. That's only that or Donkey Kong has the ostriches.
Another game with an ostrich. Donkey Kong Country 2.
Mega Man X2.
Yeah, but that's like a robot. That's
robot.
That's a robot master.
Robostrich?
Robostrich. So, yeah. Nicole, why did you play this game before?
Whenever we went to Game Galaxy in Nashville, they had it, and it was one of the only ones that wasn't being played. So, I was like, hey, cool, there's an open game. I'll play it.
So you played the real deal. You had the arcade experience.
I did.
I've played the arcade as well. This was one of the first games that I ever quote-unquote played. I know I've told the story of the Pizza Hut when I was like 4 or 5 years old. There was a Pizza Hut that had a whole bunch of arcade games, and I always wanted to play them. And my parents would pretend to put money in and then let me play the demo screen. Joust was one of those games. And I remember Joust...
Quarters were pretty rare back then, Dave.
Yeah, quarters were super rare. And we all shared the same clothes, so... And I didn't have any pockets, so... I never could find quarters. But I do remember the first time I played Joust, it was weird because I was still a little kid, but I was maybe like 6 or 7. And all of a sudden, it was really hard because it wasn't the fucking demo screen, and I was actually dying because this game is really hard. I also played the NES version, but those are the only two versions I'd ever played. The NES version being pretty much the same damn thing, but I think a lot easier.
Because I had heard of Joust before. Like, I knew it was a game.
I've heard of jousting. Yeah. I knew it's a thing that knights did.
I did not know anything about it until Ready Player One. And I don't want to give any spoilers about it, but there is a pretty large section where Joust is very important. And he breaks down, like, tactics and the rules and everything about it. So I knew what to expect when we sat down, because this was released on Super Nintendo under the Williams Arcade's Greatest Hits. So that's what we all played it on before we recorded.
Yeah, I didn't know that it ever came out on SNES. I didn't know that that Williams collection even existed. So I think it's cool that it did, because it also had like Robotron on it. And sadly, some other games that I hadn't heard of.
Sinistar, Defender 1, Defender 2.
Yeah. Had you heard of those?
I've heard of Defender.
Yeah. I haven't played any of those.
And then Robotron, because when we were doing research for Smash TV,
yeah,
they talked about that.
Yeah.
But it works. I had fun playing it.
So you're riding an ostrich.
Mm-hmm. Player one rides an ostrich.
Player one rides an ostrich. If two players can play this game, and if two players play it, the second player rides a stork. All right. Pros and cons. Ostrich versus stork. Storks deliver babies.
Mm-hmm.
Ostriches keep their head in the sand. Ostriches can't fly. Storks can fly. So you would think that player two would have a vast advantage over player one.
Mm-hmm.
But they're identical. So
ostriches lay enormous eggs.
That is true.
That they sell at Whole Foods. It's the equivalent to like a dozen eggs.
So they have that going for them. But other than that, there's really no difference between player one and player two.
Victorian age women wore ostrich feathers in their hair. Mm-hmm. As a thing on their hats.
Well, that like signified.
That's a thing, right, Nicole?
That's a thing.
It signified something, right? Just how...
That there was a dead ostrich somewhere.
Yeah.
That the woman had entered womanhood by killing an ostrich.
The ancient Victorian rite, where one must slay an ostrich to become a woman.
Because back in the day, women had to quest for their period, and that's how you had to slay an ostrich.
Right. And they couldn't do that until they were at level...
12 or 13.
How long did the quest take?
A month.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We know a lot about this.
Yeah.
We're experts.
We're pretty
Quit
much,
rolling your eyes, Nicole.
We're pretty much Victorian women experts, I'd say. We've all watched a lot of Sherlock.
Yeah. So really the controls are very hard to get used to. They're not what you'd expect.
Yeah. Because
you have to flap over and over, and you're constantly moving. Whichever direction you turn, your bird mount is going that direction, and then you're having to fly and trying to alter your path, and the screen is circular, so if you go off one side, you appear on the other side.
It loops. It's like Super Mario, the old one, where you have Mario and Luigi, and you're just killing things that come out of pipes.
You're just doing... The game is what used to be in Mario 3 whenever you land on the same square. It's that mini game as a real game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you kill other knights riding buzzards, and you do that by flying above them. And as long as you, because what they're trying to do is you're pretty much just colliding with one another, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're trying to fly into you and you can try to fly into them. And as long as you're above them, when you hit, you'll destroy them. But if they're above you,
not like they'll completely destroy you. Above.
You can be. You can like kind of just drop on top of them.
But as long as the lance part is above.
Yeah, when your fronts collide, like you're...
even if you're dropping on them, your lance is still higher than theirs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all rules apply. As long as your lance is higher than theirs, they get knocked off and drop an egg that you have to recover before they rehatch.
Right.
All the buzzard people are actually phoenixes. That turn back into eggs and then are reborn.
And see if
and
they
look like naked people, according to Nicole.
They do.
They look like naked people.
You're born naked. It's true.
So it makes sense. Why wouldn't a bird knight be born naked as well? When the bird knight hatches, he becomes a stronger bird knight. So if he starts out as a red knight, if you kill the red knight and he turns and his bird lays an egg, when it hatches, it'll become a white knight, and a white knight is stronger. Oh. And if you kill a white knight and don't collect the egg, it turns into a black knight, which is the strongest knight.
Okay.
It's definitely the darkest knight.
I can see where people really got into this game a whole lot because it was fun, and mm-hmm. I can see all the strategy and the difficulty, like difficult to master, but once you did, I can see it being a very heated and fun competition.
It's a hard game.
I wish there was music.
Yeah, there's a little bit of music in the beginning, but that's about it.
Yeah.
They, from what I understand, they made this game with like a hardware budget of like 92 kilobytes. So like this game is under...
I watch pornography way bigger than that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Dicks you drew on Mario Paint are bigger than that.
Yeah, definitely. You probably have some temp files on your hard drive. You definitely have some temp files on your hard drive that are bigger than that. Mm-hmm.
Nicole, did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it. It was very hard, but I enjoyed it.
Because we got pretty far in. When we gave ourselves 44 lives, we got pretty far.
It's very hard. Like, this, whenever you... If you are on a surface and you try to stop, you slide for a distance before you actually stop. Or if you start to walk, you don't just walk, you run. And then if you try to, you know, turn around, you slide for a distance before mm-hmm. you can turn around.
Yeah.
So you just slide right off into the lava.
Your bird kind of controls like Super Mario 2 Ice World.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It controls like an ice world.
Because there are like maybe 20 to 30 knights per stage that you have to kill, plus the occasional unbeatable pterodactyl.
Unbeatable, question mark.
Question mark, in quotations.
It's totally beatable. It's just really hard to do.
And then you told me, I didn't know, there's a fire troll living under the lava, so if you go over in the flames, he will jump up and grab the bird and slowly pull it in the lava.
And his hand, it'll come off. His hand just comes off, because he's a troll. That's how they do.
But it regrows.
Yeah, that's how they do.
Yeah, because it is over lava because for some reason this game, this battle is being taken place in hell, I guess. Mm-hmm.
This is the knights. Yeah, we're not sure if it's bird hell.
It's definitely bird hell. It is definitely bird hell.
Where you have to go and pick up these naked boy knights and then slide around on this lava platform.
Night hell is entirely different. It has a lot more dragons. Bird hell just has fire trolls and humans. And humans.
So many humans. Yeah.
Humans that hatch out of eggs. It's nightmarish. It's nightmarish. It's not.
It's very hard on the birds. I mean, this game, there's not a whole lot more we can say about it, really, because it's like trying to talk about Burger Time. Like, it has a theme, repeats, and it's difficult.
It's like you said, like, the fact that you go through different levels would be debatable, because it is the same screen. Like, the platforms disappear and reappear. And
some levels you might have to just gather a bunch of eggs for the hatch.
Different enemies.
It's the same three or four stages, just ad infinitum.
And they add a lot of enemies to each stage. I'm curious if this is where the idea of Chocobo came from. I like to think that it is. I'd love to see a Final Fantasy game where they have a dragoon riding a Chocobo and that's like his thing. I think that would be great. In fact, I might start playing Final Fantasy 14 again just to make that character. The knights all spawn from these little platforms. And that's kind of, it's kind of cool because you can kind of game the system a little bit on the NES version, because in the NES version, you only have like the first stage, like three knights spawn. Meanwhile, on the arcade version and the SNES version that we played, knights are just fucking coming out of everywhere. I mean, it's just like you can't keep up with them. But on the NES version, like if you get up on a high platform, you can just kind of camp the spawn and at least get like half of them right off the bat. Mm. So that's why I'm a lot better at the Nintendo version than I am at the arcade version, or this
the arcade SNES version's meant to milk your quarters.
Definitely. There's a two-player mode that's really interesting because it's the same exact game, but you can kill each other. Like, and if you don't kill each other in a stage, you get bonus points. But trust me, you're gonna fucking kill each other.
Yeah, because Nicole and I kill each other a lot. Yes.
I mean, it's just like
at least 20 of our 44 lives.
I think it's one of those games that's like harder to play with another person. Mm-hmm. It's like the new Super Mario Brothers games where it's just a lot easier to play with just one person, just by yourself. I remember Dennis took me, Lord Dennis, I'm sorry, super, super fan, Lord Dennis, took me to an arcade the last time I was up in his area, and we played Joust there. And that's literally all we did, was just kill each other because we just couldn't help but kill
each other. It's so hectic. So when you see somebody you can kill, you just do it. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have any achievements?
Are we done?
I'm not sure what else to say. I mean, it was fun. I can see why it's a hit and still played today by people. So I liked it very much, especially, I mean, I have to look at it from its time period, but I think it definitely, as a competitive game, it still kind of stands out. I can see why it was an outlier of its time.
I like it too. I liked it as a kid, and I like playing it again. I think it's an addictive game for me. I don't want to stop playing it. When I die, I just want to start over again and mm-hmm. see if I can do better than I did before. I definitely recommend it. Did you know that there are movie rights to this game? There are movie rights to this game that were just recently relicensed in 2008. So there might be a Joust movie coming out. This is according to Wikipedia. Let's see. It was sold. The rights were optioned by CP Productions, I'm sorry, in 2007. Check this out. They described the script. So there is a script out there for Joust. And if anyone out there listening has like access to this, please send it to me.
It's a Tarantino joint.
God, that would be awesome. The script is described as Gladiator meets Mad Max, set 25 years in the future. And they were planning it to be an action-oriented film and would appeal to a general audience.
Man, I can see where that would work.
Yeah.
I can totally see where that would work.
I don't know why it hasn't. Like, look at all the movies we've gotten recently that are, like, we got fucking Battleship was a movie. Why hasn't Joust been a movie?
I don't want CGI. I want puppets.
I want real fucking birds, man. I want real birds.
I want us to build Rapture where there are no rules. Go down there, film Joust, just killing giant mutant birds left and right.
There were definitely animals harmed in the making of this film. Are birds really animals? Let's ask ourselves that. That's are birds true. Really animals?
Shitty dinosaurs.
Exactly. Do you remember Mortal Kombat? Sure you do. Mm-hmm. Sure you do. Mm-hmm. You remember Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, Marriage Rapture?
Yeah.
Do you remember Shang Tsung's friendship?
No, I don't.
He turns into a knight on an ostrich. That's his friendship. So that's their callback. That's Midway's callback to Joust.
Okay, that's nice.
I don't have any more Joust trivia. I can see that everyone is really impressed with this Joust mm-hmm. trivia.
I like that. Did you know?
I just pulled off of Wikipedia hot and fresh.
Do you have any achievements?
I do.
Go, yeah. Nicole.
All right.
Yeah. Breakfast of Champions. And this is where, in the stage where it's an egg blitz, you would get all the eggs before they hatch, so you'd be eating all the eggs.
Nice.
Okay.
That's good. That's really good.
Is that cannibalism, technically?
Yeah, I guess so.
Because they turn into men?
Yeah, it's human eggs. It's human eggs.
Also, my other achievement is taste like chicken, and you get that the first time that you fall in the lava. So you get cooked.
That's good. I'm impressed with both of those.
I've got one achievement.
Okay.
No one is going to get this except for Jacob of Wolf Fighting fame and perhaps those sitting at this table. Well, Tyler. And that achievement is, I am not the traitor. And in order to unlock I am not the traitor, you need to kill your partner in co-op.
Because we played a game at Dragon Con.
I know what you're talking about. I didn't play the game. What are you talking about?
Called Shadows Over Camelot.
So you all played Knights of the Round Table. One person was randomly determined to be the traitor.
Yes.
The traitor fucks shit up.
They're supposed to.
Yeah.
But the game is so difficult anyway that I think the traitor can kind of just sit back and play suboptimally.
Yeah.
And everything is going to work out.
Even if you played optimally, as long as you disguise yourself from being the traitor, like, mm-hmm. you can still make them lose at the end going undiscovered. So. Yeah.
And one of the mechanics of this game is the knights want to reveal the traitor, because the sooner they do that, the more easily they can achieve their goals. And Jacob, I was a traitor. Let's go ahead and throw that out there. I was a traitor. And from the very beginning, Jacob was saying,
if you falsely accuse someone, you take a big negative.
Yeah, the knights. Yeah, if you falsely accuse someone, the knights, they're fucked pretty much. And very early in the game, Jacob started saying, I am not the traitor.
But in like a very mischievous Jacob sort of way.
I am not the traitor. You guys, I am not.
Just grinning so large. You guys, I am not the traitor.
And I saw my end because I was the traitor, and I figured, hey, no one's going to get mad at me if I accuse him of being the traitor, because we're playing with two strangers who, by the way, hated us by the time this game was done.
They asked us randomly to play and then regretted it immediately.
Yeah, they definitely regretted that decision because I figured, hey, I can just go. I got a free accuse, essentially.
I accused one of the strangers of being the traitor.
He was
he
mad.
He got pretty mad
he
at me.
He was mad. Yeah.
Well, that's silly.
Yeah.
They were pretty serious about this game. So I guess another achievement would be tying in to Shadows Over Camelot. Could do something with Parsifal. That would tie back into Ready Player One. And that ties in with the whole knight theme. I guess in order to unlock Parsifal, there's no Holy Grail in the game. You have to defeat the Black Knight. You have to defeat the Black Knight.
There you go.
To unlock Parsifal.
I've got that some Avatar shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where you killed the pterodactyl.
Okay. It is possible. You have to lance it in the mouth.
Mm-hmm. Then I've got, when you play the game of birds, you live or you die.
It's true.
That is, in a two-player game, at least one player kills the other player on every single level.
Those words are actually tattooed around my navel. Tyler.
Yes, Tyler.
I've had a good time. I feel like maybe you got a quiz or something, because we're going through pretty fast. So
I figured we'd do a shit ton of questions.
So before we do a shitload of questions or a quiz, I know you got a quiz. I got an important question for you. If you were to give this game a beard, what kind of beard would you give it?
Are you familiar with either one of you? Familiar with the cinematic smash hit, Need for Speed, not Need for Speed, but something Tokyo Drift.
Fast and the Furious.
Mm-hmm. Tokyo Drift.
Apparently, we're both familiar.
Yes, we are very familiar. That's Nicole and I have a guilty pleasure movie that when Nikki and Josh are busy, we will usually go. There's actually a barn right next to the sex barn that is specifically for watching
the
Tokyo Drift movie. We will go there and watch it. Shamefully, we usually share a Ben and Jerry's. It's not a big deal. We're friends. Friends can do that.
Well, I give this the main character's stubbly, barely there Tokyo Drift beard, because your ostriches and storks control like the cars drifting. Driving around the mountain like you're drifting.
I get it. That makes sense.
And I like this game, so I'm not disparaging it, but both of you knew what I was talking about, and now there are 7 of those movies.
There's a lot of those movies.
So they're pretty successful.
I have seen none of them.
I saw the first
one. Except for Tokyo Drift, which I have seen like 28 times with Nicole. Yeah. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to give this game a pair of glasses that go on a face, what kind of glasses would you give it?
So have you seen the Wild and Crazy Kids where they go to like medieval times?
Yes, I have, believe it or not. Yeah. I know that's a real stretch, but yeah, I have seen that.
And they have to joust and get like rings. And
yes.
Occasionally, you also see other jousting events where they have to pop balloons full of shaving cream.
Yes.
But they always have to wear protective eyewear when they do that.
They do.
So I give this Wild and Crazy Kids protective eyewear balloon popping, shaving cream balloon popping glasses.
All right, great. There's a whole nother barn for watching Wild and Crazy Kids.
It's the Donnie Jeffcoat Cineplex for lonely individuals.
Kentucky has a lot of barns. And, you know, we just don't know what to do with all of them.
Everyone thinks that they're for, like, harvesting tobacco, but really, that's just a cover.
I kept porn.
You kept porn in a barn?
Yeah.
I know
a lot of people that kept porn
in
those old barns.
Apparently, Josh and his neighborhood people kept porn in, like, a box in the woods.
In the field, yeah. I've been to that field in woods.
Woods is good, but here's the best. This is what we did. We had community porn. It sounded like Josh had community porn as well. We had scraps of Hustler and Playboy that everyone would kind of, like, go out, like we're like a hive of ants, and we would go out and collect them from like, oh, dad wouldn't miss this page. Rip, my father never had any Playboy, unfortunately, so I had to rely on just the dirty community pornography. Mm-hmm. And what we would do, there's about 6 of us, and we would all share this pornography and put it in a large Ziploc sandwich bag, right? And you make sure that the bag is sealed completely, and there was a creek in the woods where we would go. And there was a big rock, and we would lift the rock and then put the sandwich bag of porn in the creek and then set the rock down on top of the sandwich.
That's pretty good.
There were a lot of little boys in the woods masturbating with cold, wet hands.
It's because we did that. We had a board in one of those old barns where we kept like, and it wasn't even like Playboy or Hustler. It was like the bad magazines like
the Sears
Lollipop. No. It was porn. Like Lollipops. Like, ooh. I remember our friend who shall not be named bought a lot of those magazines. They're like,
were they the magazines where like, even when you're a kid, you're like, I shouldn't be looking at
this. Yeah. It was like the girls who are made to look like they're really young with like pigtails and they're sticking lollipops in there and stuff like that. Like, we would find that. Yeah. Yeah. I know.
For the record, I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know lollipops was a magazine. Was it spelled with a Z? Lollipops.
Well, it was like in a very kid-like font, and like the O's and the P's were like swirled like lollipops.
That's pretty gross.
What was that, like that old like 1920s like the swirly like lollipop, like the kids in sailor outfits would have that big
a lolly
little sucker.
Mr. Burns
it
lolly.
It looked like those, But yeah, I remember somebody came in. They didn't find our porn, thank God. But they all thought they were in gang, so they tagged the whole barn in like blood, Crips, and folks and stuff.
Because they get along.
Yeah. So we'd go in there, of course, in the gangster barn. And jerk off to our gross porn.
Okay, so here's my question. With your community porn, what happens when you go there and there's already somebody else there?
Barns have multiple floors, so you could
what do you just yell down? You'd be like, hey, just toss me the box of porn.
Hey, toss me the lollipops.
Like, how does that work? Like, saying.
Our creek porn went missing one time, and there's no way that wasn't an inside job. I still don't know who did it, but no one is randomly going to find that porn under a large rock in
and
the creek.
And want to take it home. Right.
Well, whenever you were talking about like scraps of here and scraps in there, I was like, they're making a scrapbook. They made a porn scrapbook.
Yeah. We did a disgusting Ziploc bag.
If like, we'd only had the craft and art skill to put it in a book as opposed to just like very crumpled up, wet, kind of holes in it, images torn out of a magazine.
You know what I don't miss? I don't miss dirty, like literally dirty scraps of pornography. Like these pages were like covered in dirt. Like it's just like... It had a weird, like, smell. It just smelled like shame.
You want to know a weird...
Yes.
This is weird.
Great.
But certain smells, you know, will trigger memories.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I remember one of the first times I'd ever masturbated to pornography, I didn't know what kind of lubricant to use.
Oh, boy.
So I go in and I grab the gel Right Guard that you click and it comes out in little
the
tubes.
The deodorant, yeah.
That's what I used. Effectively.
Did the trick?
I only did it like once, and I was like, it burned afterward, so I never did it again. It's like that mistake you make with shampoo. You do that once.
You don't do
it again. But to this day, if I smell that Right Guard smell, I think of jerking off.
Interesting. Yeah, you do shampoo once, and then you're...
Because
you
think, it's okay while
you're
doing
it. At the time,
it.
But the next day your dick grows a shell.
So that's totally, that's the deodorant you use then, right?
Oh, no. There's no way I could do that. No way I could do that. I'm walking around with I hate gel deodorants.
Yeah,
so I'd walk around with sticky armpits and a semi just thinking about it all day long.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
And Nicole of Kirby fame, I have a question for both of you. And that is, how much is this game on Amazon? I want to go NES, okay?
Okay.
I want to go to my old school. NES, or we can just guess at how much a Joust arcade cabinet runs.
$2,500.
So for the NES, how much was this game on Amazon used? Tyler, we'll start with you.
$4.99
from Tyler. Nicole, what do you think?
$7.99
from Nicole. Okay, guys, actual retail value of Joust for the Nintendo Entertainment System on Amazon at the time of this recording is $20.56. Nicole, you win but you were off.
I still won. That's all that matters.
You still won. I would love if you guys would guess how much this game is new.
$450. Look at me like I'm crazy.
I'm thinking.
Or that I know something.
I'm thinking.
Crazy like a fox.
$375.
Is that you're glaring at me as you're thinking about a face?
All right.
Bitchy face. I can't help it.
Okay, I can tell like you guys got spooked by the yeast cake.
It wasn't a bitchy face. It was more of a suspicious face. Like, hmm.
Sizing up my competition.
I can tell you got spooked by the used game price. The new game price is pretty high, but it's not that high. It's $279.99.
I was only off by like 100.
It's still a lot of money. Some people called us.
Yes, please.
Want to hear from them?
Hey, Tyler and Dave, Tony. I have a Final Fantasy inspired question that I would be interested to know what you guys think. So if you could take a character from Final Fantasy or a character class that's in Final Fantasy that's not typically seen in other role-playing games, either tabletop or other video games, and be able to use that character class in any fantasy setting that you come across, what character class would that be, or what specific character would you like to take from the game and use in other games or in other media as you will? All right, guys. Keep up the good work, and I will be listening.
Okay, you know my answer, but do you know what setting I would put that class or that job in? Because what's the job?
Blue Mage.
Right. Definitely Blue Mage. Where would I, what fiction would I put Blue Mage in?
Dungeons and Dragons?
X-Files. Definitely X-Files, because like X-Files had like
Nicole's head turned around like, suddenly.
X-Files had like a new monster a week, so that would be one powerful-ass blue mage by the end of all those fucking seasons. They'd come out with all kinds of crazy abilities.
In D&D, I would like to see the Templar from Final Fantasy Tactics.
Okay.
Which was Beowulf's class, which was all about status afflictions. So it was a heavy hitter, but had backup lots and lots of interesting debuffs.
Okay.
So I think that would be fun. Or, again, from Tactics, a Divine Knight, which is all about breaking your opponent's equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at range with different abilities, like different skills would affect armor, helmet, accessory, things like that.
And you'd bring that into D&D.
Both of those into D&D.
You have the power of doing that. You can do that. Thanks for calling, Tony. It's a pretty good question. Mm-hmm. I like that question.
I think that it was a good question, even though I didn't know anything.
Apparently you didn't.
I did. I thought it was a very creative, well thought out question.
Tony,
I have a certain respect for Tony anyway, just because.
Because you're right. He's your smartness rivals.
So Tony, I want Nicole to be on Earthbound after Final Fantasy II. So please, during the Earthbound, call in with some sort of cross-stitch related question for Nicole.
Hmm. That's good. By the way,
Star Trek and cross stitch. Put those together and make like Nicole's ultimate question.
My Star Trek knowledge is limited, so
you knew how many cartwheels Wesley Crusher did. That's pretty damn good.
Limited to what? Next generation, the original
Deep Space Nine, not the original. That's just those are the only ones we've gotten through. Our Next Generation Deep Space Nine. So
okay.
We watched the pilot episode of the original, and it was rough.
Really good. It's really good. Oh. No, I keep thinking you're going to say the right thing, but you don't.
It's rough.
It's really good. Thanks again for calling, Tony. We got another call. I think this is the one I wanted you specifically on for, Nicole. Let's see.
Tyler and Dave, Fish Lips J calling again. Now, I know you guys play old games, and you podcast, and you cook, and you do graphic design, but I know it, because you're a bunch of nerds, but you really like D&D. I've never played D&D, but I think I've come up with a pretty sweet new character that they should add in, or at least somebody should, because I think it'd be great. I'm calling it the Horrier. Now, this is a mage warrior female human.
Mm-hmm.
So I get, mage warrior kind of a weird thing. I get that from RPG games. But you know what? I want to make it work. It's like a red mage or something. But I'm going with she can heal if she sucks the other character's dicks and swallows the semen, which will in turn heal her. Now, I don't know how this D&D shit works. So speculate and make it happen. Go.
God, I wish I had the camera on Nicole's face time.
That is totally impractical because you don't have time to suck dick in the middle of combat.
Well, each round is 6 seconds. This is what this class is all based around. They could probably do it in like
accelerated sucking as a four round action.
Okay, and it makes sense that she can heal herself, but how does that translate into healing others? I don't think he's thought this out enough.
It makes sense that it heals her. Is that what you said?
Well, yeah. I mean. Theoretically, it makes sense that she is taking a substance into her body that would heal her.
I would think it just makes the rest of her party sleepy. That's why these goblins, guys. Everyone just falls asleep, and she's sitting there.
You and I are polar opposites on that. It does not make me sleepy. It amps me up.
Really?
Yeah. I could take a Red Bull or get a blowjob, and that's the same thing.
Oh, everybody God,
reacts
no.
to like sex differently.
Mm-hmm. It's like Thanksgiving dinner for me.
I'm like, some people get really sleepy, and I'm the same way. Like after sex, like I'm gonna jump up and I'm gonna go clean the house mm-hmm. or something. Like,
I'm ready to go. Yep.
You active people.
But yeah, that's totally not thought out all the way. He just wanted to talk about girls sucking dick.
Well, yeah.
And we needed to have you on for this one.
That's like when I was going through calls, because after the last Monday's debacle, I'm like, I don't know if I played this or not. I was like, I'm listening to these fucking calls. I'm going to put little stars next to them. When I listened to that one, I was like, good thing we got in the cold tonight. Otherwise, we would look like total dickheads.
Well, I mean, and you know that it's supposedly like if you swallow semen on a regular basis, it's supposed to be very good for your health.
Yeah.
Act as an antidepressant and reduce chances of miscarriage and things like that. So, yeah.
Cancer. Yeah.
I've read all the studies that people think are going to be biased because guys want blowjobs. But.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, that's
like
science.
Meg still being skeptical that blue balls.
It's like
think you lied to me.
No, I think of it like the theory from Sawbones. Like, if it doesn't cost you any money and it doesn't hurt you, why not?
I have a few issues with this call. First of all, the Horrier doesn't get the special suck ability until 6th level. And by that time, there are much more viable healing options from a cleric or a bard or even a druid. So I really think you're kind of hamstringing yourself by going Horrier. I can't recommend it. I can't give you a fantasy football lineup,
plus,
but I can tell you that.
I mean, if it's generally just doing good for the public, I don't think you'd call them a whore.
No, a Horrier. That's their class. Horrier. That's their class.
Mm, I would so probably call it like
sluttier?
Yeah, what would you call
this
it?
This is just the party slut, okay? She just sucks all our dicks. We tell her that it helps us and it heals us, but really, she's just dumb.
Maybe she likes it. Thanks, Bishop Shea. I enjoyed that call. We got another call. We got time?
Yeah.
Great.
Tyler and Dave, this is Kyle from McGrustic Crime Dog and Standing or Shitting While You Poop fame.
Thank you.
Hey, just wanted to give a shout out to the Congo reference about Amy Bad Gorilla. That made me laugh pretty hard. I haven't heard anyone bring that up in a while. And in closing, want to ask you the age-old Conan the Barbarian question, which is, what is best in life? All right, thanks, guys.
Well, Amy is Bad Gorilla. Mm-hmm. So first of all, first and foremost, you're welcome because, man, I love a good Congo deep cut. I can't resist throwing those out. What's most important in life?
Best friends, because they're the family that you choose.
That's pretty good. I like that. I mean, I'm not on that list, I'm sure, but I like that.
No, both of you are my family.
Thank you.
That's sweet. And if we know where if we need healing, we know where it is.
Even though getting an I love you out of Nicole is just like dragging a mule across a finish line.
Let's all take a moment on this episode to tell each other that we love each other.
Mm-hmm. Nicole, go first.
You both know how I feel about you.
See, that's what she says. Well, it's still nice to hear every now and then.
I kind of do, but I mean, the last couple of times we watched Tokyo Drift, you felt distant.
I was hogging the Ben and Jerry's. I'm sorry.
You only finished half of your chubby hubby.
Nicole, what is best in life?
Are we getting all deep?
Sure, why not?
You don't have to.
No. What is best in life? I don't know. Blowjobs. That's what. That's probably what, Kyle.
Don't
does.
Fucking take my answer like that. We have a theme tonight with phone calls, Tyler.
Otter vibrators.
Choosing your own path and living it without regret and being happy in yourself.
That's a hard one, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a hard one.
That is not one I walk. So.
That is definitely not one I walk either. When I wake up in the morning and I'm singing the Chippendale Rescue Rangers song to myself, there's a moment where I'm like, you know what? I really, really enjoy not going into work today. I'm pretty sure that's what would make me the most happy. Oh, well, here we go.
In fact, I'm surprised you went that. So you walked that path. You were happy with.
Yeah, you know.
Because this is not where, like, you originally, I remember, like went to college for.
No,
so.
No. And I, as crazy as it sounds, my OCD personality fucking loves working with numbers and filing and organizing, and I love it. So. Mm. Yeah, I think that it takes a lot to kind of cut the negativity out of your life, and once you do that, it's pretty good.
I'm going to say probably Reddit. Yeah, I'm probably just going to go with Reddit, because, like, I mean, look at me. I really don't have everything figured out, so Reddit, I'm going to go with Reddit. Reddit's pretty good. Love my wife. That's nice, too.
Yeah, friends love you.
Yeah, I guess I do. I guess I do.
I tell you that. Yeah. I told you that the other day via text message.
You did, and it's text is weird because I can't ever tell if someone's being smarmy about it or not.
And you said, "Dear Toad, thank you, Frog."
Yeah,
so it worked.
I hope you like that reply.
I did.
Then I hope Phil Hawkins liked that reply too. we got a text message I want to read. It's from 270, which that's a local area code. It says, "Hey, Tadpog boys. What do you say in spicing things up over there at the Annex? I hereby challenge you two to partake in the hot pepper challenge. Go out and find the hottest peppers to munch on, and let's see who can take the heat. Keep up the great work. Sincerely, a girl who likes to hear boys sweat." Smirk. Smirk emoji. Nicole, did you leave this?
No, I watch you guys eat spicy food all the time.
So. We fucking love spicy food. So you want to think, what's a spicy game that we could pair up and like just get the hottest peppers we can find? And we'll do a show about it.
The hottest peppers I know we could find locally are probably habaneros at Midtown Market.
I didn't say locally. Let's
you order
let's
them?
Take this show on the road.
Because we can order Trinidad Scorpion or Carolina Reapers.
Let's do it.
Or ghost peppers.
Let's do it.
Shit.
You want to do it?
We can do it.
Let's get so much heat in us that we just can't help but throw up all over the equipment.
Because I've watched some of those hot pepper challenges online.
Oh, me too.
They all throw up.
Every one of them.
Alton Brown on Good Eats talked about he associated the color orange with candy. So in an Atlanta grocery store when he was little, he walked in, saw all the habaneros, thought it was candy, and just walked over and just started popping them in his mouth and eating them. Had to be rushed to the emergency room. Yeah.
I want you to know, every time that you say ghost pepper, all I think about is Farm Bill.
I'm assuming there's ghost peppers in Farm Bill. Are they dead peppers? I hope that they are. Now, she says she likes to hear boys sweat, but what she's going to get is boys vomiting. Because we don't know when to stop. We really don't. So I want to think about a spicy game that we can pair up with the hot pepper challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I know in Adventure Island, he eats the curry.
That's true.
Right? Mm-hmm. So.
Well, also, I mean, you eat the hot curry that makes you light on fire and spit fire in Smash Brothers Brawl.
Right. I've got one more text I want to read. This is from 904, which is either Meister Wiley or correspondent Laura, who says, "Feel free to give new listeners from AmeliaCon a shout out. So, hey, if you were at AmeliaCon and played some board games with some cool people and the chick from The Office, welcome."
And Doctor Who.
Welcome. Yeah, I mean, but mainly The Office. Mainly The Office. Welcome. Welcome. We got another text message. This is from 615. Which I believe, I always say this, I believe is Archivist Corn. He says, "Kill, fuck, marry, Gandalf, Dumbledore, and Merlin." This is a really good question. A really good question. Who would like to go first?
Nicole's like, you think, I'll go first.
Okay.
You got to marry Dumbledore.
Why is that?
Well, he's gay, so he's already going to be into it. You're going to have a happy life with Dumbledore.
Speak for yourself. He's gay, he's not going to have a happy life with me.
Hmm.
It's a good point.
That's true. Well, for
Tyler's fantasy, Nicole, this works out great.
He could probably do some magic and grow some things or create some things. I bet you could be fine with Dumbledore. I bet you could be fine.
But he would definitely have the polymorph you into a man.
His what is the spell that wards off
Patronus?
Patronus could be a strap on.
that's liquor.
Marry Dumbledore. He's still technically a demigod, so you have sex with Gandalf.
Okay.
And then not going to be into it. is not a demigod. He's just like a dude. You gotta kill Merlin.
And he's not just a dude.
He's just a dude. I mean, he knows magic. He's
not just a dude.
He knows magic, but I don't think he's as powerful as Dumbledore, and he's not one of the Merin, if I'm using the right word for what Gandalf is. So yeah, kill Merlin.
I love the way that you say Gandalf, because you say Gandalf.
Gandalf. I've said them
both. It's like you've like decided that you have this weird accent.
There's an N. Oi, Gandalf. What you gonna do when you're fucking Gandalf?
Well, it's like Alf's ancestor. It's a grand elf.
Most of the time I do say Gandalf. I don't know why I haven't written it to say Gandalf.
I wasn't going
to
say anything because I was like, maybe that's just how Tyler says it. I'm not going to criticize that. I mean, he's a fictional character. Who knows? Do you have an answer, Nicole?
I don't really know that much about Merlin. So
definitely kill him.
Fill me in. Give me some Merlin knowledge.
My Merlin knowledge is based on the Sword in the Stone cartoon.
Yeah, mine too. Pretty much Merlin, friend of King Arthur, had an owl named Archimedes.
Oh, then I'm marrying him because he has the owl.
There you go.
I'm marrying him for the owl.
So if you want to steal Nicole away from Josh, Tadpog Nation, get an awesome owl.
I'm taking notes. I've got on my phone right now, get owl.
Box full of sex toys and an awesome owl.
I'm going to kill Dumbledore.
Why?
Hate crime.
Just
because
Dumbledore.
He happens to be gay.
I'm
going to
kill Dumbledore because
crime.
I always got really frustrated. I'm going to sound way too nerdy.
Great.
Please.
I always got really frustrated because he didn't feel like Harry could handle the responsibility when he could.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I'm going to kill Dumbledore. So that means that I get to fuck Gandalf.
Now, that's just because he's the last.
That's just
right?
Because he's, like, badass and, you know.
So there is a reason.
Killed a Balrog, so, you know.
Okay.
Right. We've got some eagle buddies. We can do it on the top of an eagle.
Okay. Is that on the bucket list?
It is now.
on top
it's
of an eagle.
He's got a powerful staff I'm sure you can do stuff with.
Yep.
Okay, here's the thing. You can't kill Gandalf. You can't do it because he's just going to come back a different color. Mm-hmm. He's just going to come back brighter, and you kill him again, he's going to come back brighter, and you kill him again, he's going to come back brighter. So don't even bother. Mm-hmm. You might as well fuck him. That's what I say. Mm-hmm. You might as well fuck him. Kill him a couple of times, maybe, so he's super bright, and then fuck him. And just see what happens. I also like the on top of an eagle thing. I think that's great, especially if you were grabbing those feathers real tight and then the eagle just dove.
He's got horse friends. You could fuck on the king of horses.
Yeah.
I'm not into that. I'm into the eagles. I'm not into the horses. That's fine. If I wanted that, I'd go Khal Drogo. Not a wizard, but still.
He could make fireworks, so he'd have a very impressive orgasm.
Definitely. All of the hobbits would be very impressed with our performance. So definitely going to go fuck him. I think that I am going to, I think I'm going to kill Dumbledore. And it's just because I like the other fiction better than Harry Potter fiction. That's the only reason. I like Lord of the Rings and Arthurian mythology more than I like Harry Potter. I hear he's gay. I think that's fine. And it's nothing about that. It's just given the options, I definitely want to marry Merlin. I definitely want to marry Merlin because he can get me to King Arthur. I can use Merlin to get me to King Arthur because that's who you really want to fuck.
Resheath Excalibur. Boom.
Yeah. But then you gotta go swim in the lake, right? And there's a lady in the lake. Then you got a threesome. Boom. Dude's got an owl. Who the fuck knows what's going to happen? Gandalf might show up. I don't know.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher. So to miss the next episode, we'll be doing part two of Final Fantasy II.
You can skip it if you want. It's fine. I understand.
Yeah. If you like the first episode, listen to the second one.
If you've been playing along with us, then definitely listen to the second episode because there's no way you'll finish the game without it.
Are you counting?
That's two. He gets two. No,
but it's the same.
He gets two.
Who gets two?
Josh.
I don't agree.
He's been on two episodes.
You're counting as two. Well, it's one and a half when we round down. We talked about that. So I think he has one.
Because I think it should be one.
Just because it's
one. Still two.
He showed up late.
Yeah, you recorded it the same night. He's even there for the whole thing.
One and a half D&D rules. You You either round down or we count it as 1.5. We can't count it as 2.
I say we let the Tadpog Nation decide.
Okay. All right.
I think that the Tadpog Nation is on my side.
just because you're a girl who told a good sex story earlier.
That's right.
You got him.
Yeah, you definitely do.
So Josh needs to come on with his hottest sex story next time he's
Josh
on.
Nance, I challenge you to come back with a hot Stevie sex story.
You guys are going
to
both be on for Earthbound. It's going to be a hot story sex off. You cannot talk about each other. That's the only stipulation.
If that sex story involves that bow tie, I'm listening, Josh. All ears, buddy. I'm all ears.
Hey, we love 5-star reviews.
We do.
They help us out a lot.
They do.
And they also let you have some power in the show.
Much power.
Give us a 5-star review. Include a written review with that.
Yeah.
And in that written review, you can request a game you want us to play.
Right.
You can troll us. It could be an awful game. You just want us to do it.
That's never happened before.
Nope. It could be if you want a guest host for a future episode, if you want us to be your emergency contact, if you need an alibi that won't hold up in court, we'll do that. But whatever you say, whatever you put in that 5-star review, we promise that we will get to it eventually.
Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're going to be back. We are going to be talking about more Final Fantasy II. So if you just couldn't get enough, come back Wednesday. We'll be there. We'll be talking about that. You can also find us in the meantime at tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. I don't know what we're going to do for this one. Really don't. I don't know. Might be some porn on there. Check it out. You can also find us on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/tadpog. There are a lot of cool people there. They're doing a lot of cool shit. They're talking about the show. If you're not there, you're missing out. Just swing by. I hate Facebook too. I get it. We just need those likes because it's the only thing. It's the only thing that keeps us going sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. We can only tell each other we love each other so many times. And then that well goes dry. And the next thing we go to the cupboard and we look all out of loves. The next thing we look for is Facebook likes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we don't have a lot of those there, then, you know, we start to feel kind of blue.
I've got a daughter and I can teach her to hate the things I hate, but she can't tell me she loved me for a while. So we need to,
I need to fill that with something, don't you?
Yeah.
With Facebook
until
likes.
She can learn to like and love me.
Yeah.
And Nicole won't say it first.
Never.
So
yeah.
That's it.
So please like our page. That's why. I feel like we presented a good argument.
Mm-hmm.
We just need a great PowerPoint to coincide with that. And I think we're going to clinch it. You can also find us on Twitter. We are at @tadpog_podcast. It's cumbersome. I realize the man or woman who has @tadpog, they just won't come off it. So I feel like we need to get over that and move on. But thank you for everybody who is retweeting. We really appreciate it. And especially people who are tweeting about us to other people. That's awesome too, because hey, we might get some new listeners and that would be great. Like it goes right back to the like and love cupboard. I mean, that we just lump that in with Facebook likes. we went a full cupboard. That's all. I mean, it's getting colder. Times are going to be lean.
I built a pantry, so we got to fill it.
The Tadpog pantry. I'm looking at it right now. It's kind of bare. Right now it's kind of embarrassingly bare. You can call us if you want. You can leave a voicemail like the wonderful people who did today, or you can send us a text. That's cool too. If you like to hear boys sweat, give us a call maybe. You can do that at 270-883-2555. I'm pretty sure that's our number.
Yep.
Great. Our intro song, Nicole.
The intro song is Moves by Sycamore Drive, and a link to that track can be found in the show notes at tadpog.com.
Nailed it. John Turley style. Just rattle it off. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. I had fun.
Yeah, this was good.
It was really good.
I feel like you knocked this one out of the park. This was really good.
I mean, after recording Final Fantasy, let's just face it, I really needed this. I really needed this. So I'm glad that you were on.
Thanks.
So this next part, you criticized us for this, so I expect you to bring it hard on this next part. So until next time,
Tropical Capricorn!
You just giggled!
I can't believe it.
You caught me off guard.
Okay, let's do it again then.
Okay.
Can we do it in the Josh voice?
Yep. Nicole can't do it. That was part of her marriage vows, that she can never do the Josh impression.
Okay. But I think we should always end the show with the Josh voice now. So you just pick a voice, Nicole, and go with it. It doesn't have to be the Josh voice, but if it happens to sound like Josh, but it's not Josh, that's fine.
Okay.
So until next time,
Tropical Capricorn.
Hard to do the Josh voice in sync.
Well, I just cut out to hear what you were, were saying.
No. Josh would kill me. I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world. It's all you're getting.
That's pretty good.
We don't need 53 minutes of stinger material.